gonna look all good. Well, welcome. Do grab a seat. We're going to get cracking. We're here to celebrate the Lord's Supper, and Owen is going to be preaching in a moment for us. We're looking at the sayings of Jesus from the cross, and it's the second one we've looked at in this series. So let me pray, and then I'll hand over to Owen to read and then to share God's word with us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for today. Thank you that your grace has saved us and has kept us. Lord Jesus, as we look at the cross again by faith this morning, and as we eat and drink together, we want to hear those words that you said from the cross with fresh clarity to our hearts and our lives. Would you speak into our hearts today and change us? Would you speak your love and your mercy, your rebuke and your correction as we see afresh your dying love and the cost of our salvation? Would we be freshly confident in all that you have done for us today? We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Morning, everyone. Our Bible reading this morning is going to be from Luke chapter 23, verses 32 to 43. It's page 1060 in the church Bibles. So from verse 32. Two other men, both criminals, were also led out with him to be executed. When they came to the place called the Skull, they crucified him there, along with the criminals, one on his right, the other on his left. Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." And they divided up his clothes by casting lots. The people stood watching, and the rulers even sneered at him. They said, "Oh, he saved others. Let him save himself if he is God's Messiah, the chosen one." The soldiers also came up and mocked him. They offered him wine, vinegar, and said, "If you are the king of the Jews, save yourself." There was a written notice above him which read, "This is the king of the Jews." One of the criminals who hung there hurled insults at him. "Aren't you the Messiah? Save yourself and us." But the other criminal rebuked him. "Don't you fear God?" he said. "Since you are under the same sentence, we are punished justly, for we are getting what our deeds deserve. But this man has done nothing wrong." Then he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." Jesus answered him, "Truly, I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise." Those words which we've just read, "Today you will be with me in paradise," I think would be a great comfort to that man on the cross. So I pray that that would be a great comfort to us as well. So let's pray now. Lord Jesus, just as you assured this thief of the promise of salvation and life everlasting with you in paradise, so might you assure us this morning too, through your Spirit, of the truthfulness and the sufficiency of your promises to us. And so would you give us a deep and joyful confidence in your gospel. In your precious name. Amen. Amen. Well, how confident are you in the gospel this morning? How confident are you that God will deliver on all of his promises to you? Of course, we live in a world and we have an enemy, the devil, who loves to shake a Christian's confidence in those things. And so it's not a surprise that many Christians struggle in this world and in this life with doubt. Perhaps this week it's been doubts over what we believe. Did God really say? The devil tempts us into thinking. Maybe it's been our struggles with the same old sins that has sapped our confidence in the gospel. Maybe it's in the snide comments of our colleagues or our friends and family, those who think that we are bonkers for what we believe as Christians. Or perhaps it's been suffering which has shaken our faith instead. It's striking as we read the Bible, I think, just how aware God is of our weakness and our need to be strengthened in the faith. Colossians 1, for example, as Paul prays for the church there, he asks this, that they would be strengthened with all the power according to God's glorious might, so that they may have great endurance and patience with joy. In other words, he's praying that God would use all of his power, a lot, to strengthen them in their faith, to give them endurance in hardship, perseverance that will leave them with this deep confidence in Christ that fills them with joy and thankfulness, no matter what their circumstances are. Well, that is exactly the kind of confidence that I think this thief on the cross dies with in Luke 23. And it's exactly the kind of confidence that we all long for in our walk with Christ as well. So we read in Luke that as Jesus was led to be crucified, there were two others crucified with him, one on his right, one on his left. And one of these criminals mocks Jesus, scoffing at him in his final hours. "Are you not the Messiah? Save yourself and us," he sneers. The other man, though, he reveres Jesus and entrusts himself to his grace. "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." But he didn't have that kind of confidence at the start of the day. Imagine his final morning. No doubt he's been flogged, as Jesus one was. And then he waits with agonizing wounds and a dreadful anticipation of being crucified later in the day. He is a man facing a gruesome death, and at the start of this day he has no hope either. But by the end of this day, so much has changed for him. And there's just a few key things that I think we can note from this passage that help us to understand that. Firstly, this man recognizes his sin and the punishment it deserves. As this other criminal continues to hurl insults at Christ, this man shouts back, "Don't you fear God? We are punished justly, for we are getting what our deeds deserve." He offers no excuses. He's got no quibbles with his sentence. He knows that he's sinned, and he knows that he deserves the death he's receiving. But more than that, in his last hours, he fears God too. This is a man who realizes he is about to meet his Maker. He also recognizes that Jesus is innocent. As this criminal mocks, this other one sees the total injustice of the scene. "This man has done nothing wrong," he cries. What he sees is the innocent one dying under a curse. And perhaps as he begins to sort of connect the dots of Old Testament promises, he starts to see in part who Jesus really is, the promised Messiah, Israel's true king, the one who will restore God's reign on earth. And so from that hopelessness that he started the day, he calls out to his new king in humility. "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And what a precious, precious promise that Christ gives to him. "Truly, I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise." What I want us to see this morning is just how ready and how willing Christ is to receive that man. There's no delay, no sort your life out first. No, you'd better keep feeling guilty about everything that you've done for a while. Jesus doesn't tell him that he needs to go away and sort his life out and understand a few more bits from the Christian faith. No, when this man calls out to Jesus, Jesus promises him imminent glory with him in paradise. And that should give us great confidence as well. He is ready to receive. He is sufficient to save any who call upon his name in repentance and faith, of course, because it all rests upon who he is, not who we are. It all rests on what he has done, not what we have done. And so he meets our prayers with that same kindness, and he offers that same certainty to us as he did to this man, that when we die, we will be with him in the paradise of his kingdom. We will spend eternity with him, the one who died for us, in the new heavens, the new earth, where he wipes tears from our eyes and death is no more. So let that promise fill us with confidence in Christ this morning. We will be with him in paradise. And there's a lot of voices in this world and a lot of things that will shake our faith, but God has given us his words. He has promised. And he's also given us these material reminders of that promise as well that we're going to take this morning. The Lord's Supper, as we celebrate Christ's death and remember his death until he comes again to take us home with him. But before we share that meal, we're going to sing a hymn that reminds us and gives us confidence as well of the power of Christ's blood to cleanse our guilty stains, to wash all of our sins away, and to present us blameless and whole before our Maker. That is wonderful news. So let's sing together.